Hello and welcome to the UCB Digital Podcast. My name is Nate Russell.
Hey, hold on a second. Doesn't Todd Bieber usually do this part of the podcast?
Well, there is news coming your way about Todd Bieber. To find out, you got to listen to one of these episodes in the very near future. We will talk to Todd. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. Today, I sat down with Ed Mundy. If you don't know Ed, he's one of the nicest guys in the whole fucking world. This guy is an animator, a visual effects artist, a director. He's also one of the longest running members of the UCB House Video Production Team program, formerly known as Beta, now known as Digital Teams. And Ed has been making hundreds of comedy shorts over the last 6 years at UCB. He's also a very accomplished professional video effects artist. He's worked on shows like Louie, Broad City, Archer, Fat Guy Stuck in Internet, numerous others. We're going to talk to Ed about all that stuff today, but we started with a conversation about Ed's quiet demeanor. So, Ed Mundy, you know, it's funny. I've told a few people that we were going to do this, and what they've said was what I said to you the other day, which is don't talk more than Ed does during the podcast, because I think that one of the things that you are most known for in this community is your quiet demeanor.
Yeah, I think
they gave you right
really good advice.
Well, let me start off by sort of like asking you this then, because I don't even know this about you. So you sort of like came to New York. When did you get to New York, and sort of like did you come here to pursue film and comedy? Like, what did you come here to do?
I came to New York in 2005. Yeah, it's been almost exactly 10 years now, and I did come for film and TV and comedy. I started taking classes at UCB probably not till 2006. Okay. And then I did a lot of work with, made a lot of like dumb comedy videos for Channel 101 New York.
Uh-huh.
And then when the...
In 2006?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Starting, even before I moved to New York, I had actually submitted something.
Really?
There. Yeah.
That's cool. And when you... When you took classes here, did you take sketch or did you do improv? I can't see you doing improv.
I don't even think that sketch classes had started yet, or
really?
They had just started. So I took improv. I went through 401.
Really? Did you like it?
I liked it a lot. But by the time I was in the 401 class, I also was sort of working full time and I wanted to make videos. Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt like I had to either choose to... continue doing improv, do a practice group,
right?
Go to a lot of shows, or do comedy videos, shoot stuff every weekend, and I kind of focused more on that.
What was the skill set that you moved to New York with? Was it After Effects?
Yeah, I had worked in animation for 3 years before I moved here.
And that was in Atlanta?
In Atlanta, yeah.
Okay.
And I... got a job when I first moved here doing animation and motion graphics work for a company that made rectangle-shaped DVDs.
Yeah.
And so when I that company's not around anymore.
Sure, I know. I've never heard of that product.
It had good hours, okay. And I was able to take classes in the evening, work on videos. And then I started getting TV work probably, New York-based TV work probably in like 2007.
And what was that first like thing that you worked on?
I worked on an Adult Swim show called Fat Guy Stuck in Internet.
Sure. Gimberling and Curtis Quinn, right?
Right. I had met Gimberling and Curtis through Channel 101.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the show got picked up for series, they called me in and I joined the After Effects team on that show.
And what was your sort of role in that? How big of an operation was that?
In the After Effects team for that was maybe, there were three people there when I started, and then they brought in two more people after me, I think. So ended up getting up to like six altogether. And I came on the second half of the season.
And what were you doing, what aspect of that? Because that show was pretty After Effects heavy, if I remember.
Yeah,
right?
It was all shot on green screen.
Yeah.
It was just... and every episode was a completely different look, so we were sort of starting from scratch.
Every single time,
yeah.
So that's actually a pretty quick timeline then. If you got to the city in 05 and you were working in television, in comedy television by 2007. That's a pretty fast, track, no?
Yeah, well, I had also worked, I'd kind of lucked out with timing in college, and I got an internship on an Adult Swim show right before Adult Swim launched. A cartoon.
And that was in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And what was that cartoon?
That was called C-Lab 2021.
Okay.
It was one of the first Adult Swim shows. And
so you were at the ground floor of Adult Swim then. So it's like you basically have had television credit coming to New York. That's pretty awesome.
Right, yeah. And but then I also had 2 years of rectangle-shaped DVD credit.
Sure.
And I think that
which you've utilized extensively mm-hmm. since then.
Yes, exactly.
And how long did that gig last? Because that show only was on for the one season, right?
Fat Guy?
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
So how long of a gig was that for you?
It was probably 5 months, maybe 4 months, which was only half the season. So sure. They had been going for a while before that.
And at that point, you had quit the full-time gig in order to take that job?
I got the
DVD market collapsed.
Right. I left the DVD company just to go freelance.
Yeah.
And then 6 months later, I found out that they had fired 85% of the staff.
Okay.
Laid off.
So you had very good instincts there, too.
I don't know if you needed very good instincts to
see
that
that
was collapsing.
I'm sure that even the people who got fired were like, well, this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't necessarily find that other gig first.
Right.
So I guess, so is it then just, were you able to build a pretty steady body of work or was there a time, I guess what happened after that? Was there a time in which you were sort of like slow at all or has it been pretty consistent since then?
It's been pretty consistent since then. Timing on things has worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
The director of Fat Guy was a guy named Ryan McFall. And he recommended me for his next show that he was working on, which was a kids' educational show called The Electric Company.
Okay.
So I worked on that for a season. And then the guys who I had worked with in Atlanta on C-Lab sold a new pilot. And I worked on that remotely right when Electric Company wrapped up.
That's great.
And it kind of went back. And then I started getting more jobs in New York from the people I met on those other shows, and it kind of worked out well from there.
So from an animation and sort of like effects side of things, it seems like that's been pretty consistent work for you then for pretty much a decade. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. Sure.
When did you start doing more directing stuff? Was that?
I have directed dumb sketch comedy videos since I was in college. I was in a sketch group at the University of Georgia. And has stayed friends with a lot of those guys. And we continued making videos together for a few years after college. And one of those guys was actually Trevor Williams, who you also know from the digital program.
Sure, absolutely.
And then when we started doing Channel 101 stuff, so I was directing videos for that too. But that was all very... I never had a nice camera. This was all in the mid-2000s when everything was still pretty much shot on SD, standard def. So nothing I really was shooting at that time looked very good. And I was just kind of doing it for fun and trying to make as many things as possible to learn and create stuff that I would enjoy making.
Sure.
And then it wasn't really until I got on the first beta team that I learned from like the other guys on my team how to light things properly, and that was the first time really I had used an HD camera to shoot anything.
Sure.
And so I've been directing a lot more since then.
So that was because you came onto that team as a director.
Yes.
At that time, so you had enough work that was a directing reel to put together to submit to Anthony King and Todd, and you got on that team as a director, and that was your first sort of like real HD space for directing comedy videos.
That's right.
And that team was Diamonds Wow, right?
That's right.
And it's funny, I went through this thing with Sax, and he thought one of the most boring questions I asked him was, who are the original members of the Brig? Because I kind of want to see if he could remember. So how about, so I'm going to ask you the same question. Who was on Diamonds Wow when that team formed? Because I don't even think I can answer that question.
The other two I think they were directors. Ryan O'Loughlin.
Oh, yes.
Zach Neumeier.
Uh-huh.
Melinda Taub.
Of course.
Caitlin Taggart.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a guy.
Yeah, it's a guy.
Our producer was for about 2 weeks with Spencer Griffin.
Yeah.
Who's at College Humor now.
Yeah.
He was replaced quickly by Tim Dunn.
Right.
Is that seven people? Or am I skipping somebody?
Well, you're included in that too. So it's three of you guys and two. No, that's only six. There's definitely somebody
else.
Was Fisher on initially? No.
Oh, Kevin Hines.
It was Kevin Hines was initially on.
Yeah, I always forget about that guy.
Sure.
He never contributed anything useful to the team.
And you guys made, how many videos did you make as part of that team? You made a lot.
I know when we finished, I counted
because
I especially wanted to see how we compared to the Brig.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember.
Yeah. And you've been you've been consistently on a video team at UCB since. Like you and Adam are the last sort of like surviving original members who have been consistently part of it.
That's right.
I guess for you, what does that opportunity provide? Why do you continue to want to do unpaid comedy video work? You know what I mean? Because you have a lot of fucking credits at this point, man. Like, you know?
It's a question I ask myself all the time.
Sure. As well, you should.
I think the structure of the new teams this year kind of really excited me.
Uh-huh.
About how we're doing series and focusing on bigger projects.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if that had not been the case, I might have chosen not to do it again.
Hmm.
But it's nice. I like the idea of focusing on something a little bit bigger, a season of something, knowing that we can like hammer out what like the visual effects will be and execute that in a way that is kind of fun and educational and comes up with something I want to show people.
Yeah. And what, so I guess like as far as like the other stuff that you've worked on, just to change gears back a little bit more to your, like to the professional credits, because I think that digital stuff is a little bit more of the passion or the stuff on the side, right? But for you professionally, what's like, run down some of the other shows that people would recognize that you've worked on.
I've worked on Archer.
Yep.
Delocated,
mm-hmm.
which is an Adult Swim show. The Heart She Holler. It's another Adult Swim show.
Okay.
More recently, Broad City and Inside Amy Schumer, and a little bit on Louie.
And in all of these capacities, you're doing that as like what's your role on any of those? What do you get credited as mostly?
It's visual effects for all those shows.
Visual effects for all of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the visual effects in the live action space for a show like a Louie or a Broad City? What are you doing in there?
A lot of that is sort of invisible effects,
uh-huh.
which is making it look like there's nothing happening.
Sure.
So sometimes it's fixing mistakes that happen on set. You see the edge of the set, or you see a crew member or a piece of equipment. And then sometimes it's there's a television, but there's nothing on the television, so you put something into the screen. So the majority for those shows is not particularly exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything, and I guess what's that workflow like for you? Is that something that you are, because you're doing that all just freelance, right?
Right, yeah.
Because you don't work at a
visual effects company. No.
So I guess how do you get brought into a project like that to do that sort of invisible effects work?
Since the Electric Company, I've worked over and over again with a post-producer named Ryan Cunningham, who started bringing me on to these comedy shows that she was working on. And so that's really where most of it has come from, that I've met other people working on those shows,
uh-huh.
then I've gotten other jobs from that. But it's consistent enough that I usually have something starting up right as I'm finishing something else.
So she's working as a post-producer on a project,
mm-hmm.
and there's some sort of need, and she'll recommend you to come in and do the gig.
Right.
And then you just work on it like remotely, or do you have to go into a facility? Like, how does that aspect of, I don't actually know how that aspect of like
specifically this type of visual effects works?
It's both, depending on the project, yeah. But mostly I've been able to do it remotely, which has been really nice. I save a couple hours of commuting every day.
Sure. That's not insignificant.
And on the, but like, where does Ed Mundy's passion lie? I guess there's a question that I want to ask you.
Because is that stuff that, like, do you feel like that's something that, is that career path the career path that you feel most dedicated to and interested in, like, having going forward? Or is, like, the directing side of things the direction that is more pulling you these days?
They actually go really well together for me. Uh-huh. So when I've worked on, for example, I directed a short for the UCB Nerdist Between the Scenes web series,
yes,
of Star Wars.
Yes.
And for that, I directed and did the visual effects.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of hard for me to separate either process from each other. Like, if I were directing that, but I wasn't going to be executing the visual effects or at least overseeing the execution, I wouldn't really know how to shoot it properly,
mm-hmm,
for whoever was going to be doing it. Unless we talked about it or that person was there. And if I'm working on the visual effects, it's nice to be involved in that process, if not directing, supervising or overseeing what's happening. So it's kind of like I don't see it as being finished until all those pieces have come together, especially when it's something really complicated where it's all green screen.
Sure.
I'd like to do more where I'm seeing it through from start to finish, so more directing or at least VFX directing stuff that I'm working on in post.
So you actually prefer to do it all the way through? That's your preferred workflow. It's not like you want to be directing and working with somebody else on the visual effects side. You prefer to...
Well, I wouldn't mind working with somebody else.
Yeah.
But like overseeing it to the end, I think is... sense to me,
sure,
rather than just handing it off.
Let me ask you specifically about that video, because I was thinking about that as I was sort of running down some stuff to talk to you about. Because that Star Wars video that you directed and did all the effects for us, for Nerdist, is like looks awesome. So I guess, and I think it's a great example of that dual skill set that you bring to a project. So I guess, like, walk me through what your approach is as a director, like, and as a visual effects artist. Like, how did you approach that project so that you got what you needed out of the footage for the visual effects? Because that was all green screen, and if anyone hasn't seen that video, it's pretty much all green screen, and you're building the sort of, like, Star Wars or Star Wars parody sort of, like, world. And putting the characters from, you were both compositing into real Star Wars footage, one, and then two, you were building environments to composite characters into that needed to look like other, like, recognizable Star Wars sets.
Right, exactly.
So how, yeah, what's your approach?
So that one required a lot of planning to get things right ahead of time. So we had a long list of screen captures from Star Wars, and that sort of served as a guide for how to set up the shots on set. So I met with Dan Zimmer, who was the DP, ahead of time. We figured out what every shot was going to be. We had a shot list. We had everything storyboarded out. And Dan set up the camera and made sure he had the right lens length so that it matched the original footage. We sort of knew ahead of time what all the environments were going to look like. There wasn't much room to figure it out in post.
The bathroom scene specifically, if I remember that, that's not a real Star Wars set.
No.
How did you approach that? Because I remember looking at the green screen footage. I remember looking at the rough cut of that in the green screen footage and being like, I don't quite understand how he's going to build this. And then once you did it, I was like, oh, okay, now I get it. That makes sense. But like, even at that stage, I was like, I don't see, why do these angles don't make any sense to me.
There was, I went through the whole movie, like every Death Star scene in the movie.
Yeah.
and found a wall that looked like a series of urinals.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay, well, this is going to be our bathroom wall. And then just taking those images, figuring out how they could be manipulated, and we worked the camera angles around what we had to work with.
Cool. Yeah,
maybe that's a very exciting anecdote. We should probably
put a link to that video in the description of this thing, because otherwise none of that is going to make any sense.
Yeah.
cool, man. Let me talk to you about Channel 101, because sure. That's something that you have been involved with for a long time. But you've now passed the torch.
That's right.
So I guess you said you were involved in it before you even moved to New York City. So what was your path with Channel 101? What was that like?
I was at a party in Atlanta in 2004 sometime.
Okay.
And some people were talking about this great new thing in L.A. called Channel 101. So I went home that night and looked it up. It was probably 4 months old at that point, and I watched every video on the site. I thought, wow, this is great. This was before YouTube. There were no videos on the internet. So I thought, like, I want to keep making comedy videos. This is a great opportunity, or a great motivation, to try to make something. So we submitted a video to 101 LA. It got rejected, but we got some nice feedback. There used to be a really active message board community back when message boards were a thing.
Sure.
And we immediately started working on another one. And when we went to submit that one on the website, it had an announcement that they were launching a spinoff called Channel 102 in New York. So we submitted it to both and got into Channel 102 along with every other submission to Channel 102, because they only had 11 for that first month. And then we got I wasn't there because I lived in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
but it got voted back for a second episode.
Uh-huh.
And then the second episode got last place.
And once you moved to the city, you just kept you kept putting stuff in?
Yeah, that's right. I met some folks immediately. We started making videos together all the time. I started making stuff with Trevor.
Trevor.
Mm-hmm. And some other friends.
And eventually you sort of like picked up the torch. You hosted for a long time, right? Like you were a pretty integral coordinator for a long time.
Well, I was the producer of the live screenings for almost 5 years,
yeah.
Which was probably 2 years too long to be doing that job. But I got it down to a science where yeah. I could put the screenings together to where it was like, this is almost more complicated to explain to somebody else how to do it than it is for me to just keep doing it. But then the two people running it now, Crystal Rangel and Sebastian Di Natale, are... they've been involved for 2 or 3 years, and they are very good at putting these things together. And I think they're so far doing a great job with it.
What are the things that you? How many series for that have you made in that amount of time?
I don't know. Most of them are failed pilots, probably.
Are we talking like 10? Are we talking 50? Like, how many projects do you feel like you worked on for Channel 101?
I probably, I had one series that I co-created with some friends and I directed that went for 7 episodes. And then on top of that...
Is that the guitar?
Yeah, Gary Teaches Guitar.
Yeah, I remember that.
On top of that, I think, it kind of depends. Like in some things I directed but I didn't create.
Right.
Some things I created but they only lasted 1 episode.
Sure.
So they're probably... I don't know. There are probably 30, 40 videos that I worked on in some capacity, but maybe 10 that I created or co-created.
And what are the things you're most proud of from that subset of work?
Gary Teaches Guitar is my favorite
yeah.
series that we made. It actually was it sort of fit the model of what I always wanted a Channel 101 show to be. Which is like something you could watch any episode of and it made sense. But there was also this underlying narrative continuing story that was going on.
Sure.
It was also ridiculous and over the top. And it starred Tony Zarrett, who's a hilarious frontman for a show like that.
Cool. And I guess, like, what was, is it similar in terms of the motivation? Because that's also, like, unpaid comedy work.
Yes.
Is it, like, is the motivation similar to the sort of, like, UCB system? Like, why be involved with it for as long as you have been on that side of things, too? What's the motivator for you?
Well, when I first came to New York, that was really the only outlet for showing comedy videos that you made, because it was still before YouTube had taken off. And even till 2008, 2009, something like that, like, there wasn't a huge online presence for comedy videos and web series the way there is now.
Yeah.
So for a long time, it was just, this is something I want to have available to me, so I want to help keep it alive and keep it going. And then once, now that it's sort of, it's just one more thing that's out there, if you make videos, I still really enjoy, like, having a show that is open to anyone if they make something that's good enough to get in, where they can show it in front of a live audience and get that instant feedback and meet other people in the community. So I wanted to... because I would want that to be available if I was just starting now.
Sure.
I want, you know, it to be available for other people too.
Absolutely. A name that hasn't come up yet in this is Mac Williams.
Yeah, I try not to talk about him.
Yeah. But also somebody who's pretty, you know, important in your world. And so you like, you and Trevor Williams and Mac Williams, and they're not related, right?
not as far as we can tell.
Okay. But the three of you guys have a production company now.
Yes.
Pig Apple. So I guess tell me a little bit about how that came about, because you guys, has Mac always been part of your Atlanta crew?
Yeah, Mac, Trevor, and I were all members of a college sketch group called the Silly Spider Monkey Fiasco.
Sure.
And we're the least successful members of that team. We actually had... in the past 2 years, two of the other members of our college group were nominated for the same Emmy Award in the same category for competing shows.
Really?
Yeah.
Who were they?
Neil Holman, who's the art director on Archer.
Okay.
And Nora Smith, who's a writer-producer on Bob's Burgers.
Oh, cool. And is it coincidental that you guys all wound up sort of in the same world of animation? As a sketch, like, because you were a live sketch group.
Yes.
Like, you could do stage sketches.
Mm-hmm.
But did you also have all in common that you were interested in animation?
No. Me, Neil, and Mac were all in the animation program at the school.
Okay, so that makes more sense.
But Mac wasn't initially. I think he transferred in from something else because he saw a cool guy like me doing it and couldn't resist. Everybody else's their focuses were on different things. Nora's on writing, and I've never really known what Trevor's focus is.
Trevor's focus,
yeah. No, it's it's live.
Trevor
action.
Does a lot
it's
of
live
different
action
things.
Directing. Yeah. Yeah.
So you, but you guys decided, when did you actually form the company? Because it was only a few years ago, right?
Right. We, Trevor, Mac, and I all ended up here. Mm-hmm. A few. I guess 5 years ago is maybe when Mac moved here. Trevor and I were here longer. And we had been doing projects together pretty frequently. And so about 3 years ago, we formed an LLC to
make it
official. Validate our relationship.
And what type of stuff are you guys trying to build out? Because you guys have gotten a decent amount of work, right?
Yeah, we do. We've done a lot of web series,
okay,
animated and live action, and then there's the visual effects, TV work, and there's some other animation TV work that hasn't come out yet.
So, how do you guys present yourselves as a company? Like, what's the sort of like positioning you're looking for as a production company?
We do soup to nuts. Short form content,
mm-hmm.
web series and web videos, and that can be live action or animated. And then we also do animation and visual effects for maybe something that's somebody else's writing or spearheading.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So this is all great, man. I definitely didn't know your whole sort of like backstory, for sure, which is really interesting. It's interesting that you've been with those guys for so long. That those guys were sort of like very early on part of your collaborative comedy world, and that you've maintained that consistency for so many years. It's really great.
Yeah, maybe I need to learn how to make new friends, I think. it's been...
Here's what I want to ask you. I only have a couple more questions for you. And this is something that I think that I've had a hard time getting an answer from you in the past, which is, in fact, last year when we were talking about digital teams, we had a conversation, and it was actually really hard to find the right team for you, because it seemed like you were interested in everything kind of equally. I guess, is there some sort of driving undertone, because you've done such a wide range of comedy styles and contributions to comedy projects, is there some sort of underlying comedic thesis for what Ed Mundy's sensibility is?
Yes, I've just written it right now. It's going to blow you away.
Good.
All right.
That's what I'm looking for. I'm sorry to put you on the spot. Here's what I mean. because you've done so many different things, is there something that's consistent about it that gets you the most excited, I guess? Is there a style of comedy that gets you the most excited?
Yeah.
Because it's hard sometimes for me to see when you're feeling excited.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think between last year and this year, I think one thing that got me excited about doing digital again this year was watching Gary Saves the Graveyard last year.
Yeah.
Because that... I really liked how that was a very specific sort of genre-based web series that was also really funny, but also told a coherent story over several episodes.
Sure.
And so that was what kind of excited me this year going into this, is that we have the chance to do something bigger than just standalone web videos, which is mostly, or at least that's all that we've done on my beta teams and digital teams before this.
Is the visual effects component, because Gary also has a lot of visual effects.
Yeah.
And working that into the humor.
I really like being able to make the visuals sell the world and sell the story as much as like the jokes do.
Yeah.
So sometimes when I come onto a project, it's already been shot. You're kind of playing the fixer role and just trying to figure out how do you sell this now. But I like coming in and doing everything from the start, whether that's sitting down with people and having a meeting or the videos that I direct, because you can completely change the way the story's told if you know what your visual effects options or your post options are going to be.
Cool. And the last thing I just want to ask you is, do you know that there's an Ed Mundy in the UCB Los Angeles community? Do you know this?
I don't think I knew that. That sounds really fishy.
There's a guy, and his name's Ryan Moulton, and he is, like, you guys are so similar in that, in everything. You guys have a similar skill set in that Ryan also is, like, a director and a DP and an editor and a visual effects guy. And you have a very similar demeanor in terms of, like, being sort of, like, very thoughtful and very like considerate and kind and quiet, but like also very funny, but like in the way that's like you have to get to know you a little bit first before that really like feels like it comes out to the front. But like, yeah, like when I met Ryan, I was like, holy shit, that's Ed Mundy from L.A. You guys need to meet.
Is he behind this door right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I wish. No, you guys really need to meet because it's really interesting. And he's also been on a team for quite a while now as well. It's like, yeah, you guys should definitely meet.
That sounds great.
I found
if
your,
you can,
yeah, your partner.
You know, if you can set
country.
Us up, I'd appreciate it.
I'll do that.
Yeah, I'm free most weekends, so.
Well, Ed, thanks so much for taking the time. I know, is there anything else that you want to talk about, or?
Did you have fun, Nate?
I had a lot of fun.
Oh, great.
I think you talked more than I did, which is a win.
Yeah.
We set it up at the beginning, and it came true. Ed, thank you so much for taking the time for doing this and for being a very consistent and really important member of this community. So it's always wonderful to talk with you and work with you. And go check out Ed's work if you haven't seen it. Pigapple.com, right?
That's right.
Pigapple.com. Check it out. And we'll talk to you very soon. How do you sign off on these things? What do you say? Bye! That's how we're going to sign off from now on. Bye. Hey, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Please, if you like this podcast, subscribe. And you can check out all the podcasts on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network by going to the iTunes store and searching UCB Comedy. Also, check out our videos. Our short films and narrative series are available on Vimeo/UCB Comedy. We've got sketches and experimental comedy on YouTube/UCB Comedy. And we're always updating all of our social networks. If there's a social media platform, we're on it at UCB Comedy. Thanks again for checking out this podcast, and we will see you soon. Bye-bye.